This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're with Lynn Mark, Sharit Abdullah and Wong Shaoning. It is 7.35 in the morning, Monday the 29th of July. Speaking of Sharia-compliant investing, there has been a rise of halal and ethical investing in the region. At least this is according to a recent research report by RHB Group. Because the concept of environmental, social and governance or ESG investing is not new, but it was previously seen as hindering financial performance. But now rising awareness of social responsibility has led to the growth of a global ethical economy, which includes principles of the Islamic economy.
Yeah, so while halal and ethical investing are not identical, their core value-based investment philosophies, they overlap. The main difference is that halal investment do not include investment in conventional financial institutions like regular banks because of the nature of the interest.
Yeah, interest is considered haram, but many of the concepts are exactly the same. So it'll be interesting to have this discussion, because we have seen the growth of ESG investing. Mm-hmm. That's the largest in terms of percentage for Malaysia, actually.
Yeah.
So to help us better understand the potential in halal investing, we have on the line Alexander Chia, Head of Regional Equity Research at RHB. Thank you for joining us, Alexander. There has been significant growth in halal and also ESG investing with the emergence of such funds. But do we know how big the potential market is?
Okay, we're talking about the halal economy, the Islamic population, now the world's fastest growing. The number of Muslims globally will grow to 2.2 billion people by 2030, making up 26% of the world's population from 1.8 billion in 2017. So with halal markets across various industries have increased to about 2.1 trillion in 2017, at a CAGR of 5.6%, and that has outstripped the world's, the global economic growth rate of about 3.8%. So right now, there is a significant growth in the halal population or the Muslim population in the world that will provide the underlying growth for halal and ESG investing. With the growth of the middle class, particularly in Muslim majority countries in the ASEAN context, in Malaysia and Indonesia, as well as in the Middle East, obviously.
And in the past, the pushback against investing in halal and ESG companies is that the returns may be lower when compared to mainstream investing. Does this remain the case today?
Okay, I think if you look back at 2018, I think going by the EPF's Sharia compliance savings option, I think the returns there for the non-Sharia part of the fund was slightly higher than the Sharia component. That was mainly due to the outperformance of the banks, which don't qualify as a halal investment. So right now, I think in the Malaysian context, there will be the key differences in terms of the local funds are mainly in the banks, where the local GLCs they practice ethical investment standards, which prohibits them from doing stuff that is related to gambling, gaming, and pork-related industries, for example. So I think in terms of the local industry, local fund management industry, the key difference here is banks. And I think the banks obviously is a cyclical kind of market, and there will be there will be years that the banks underperform, and there will be years that the banks outperform. So I think, but I think over time we expect that the returns will even itself out.
And Alex, what are the challenges of halal and ESG investing? Is there sufficient depth of market?
Well, right now, what we can see is that 77% of stocks listed on Bursa Malaysia are actually Sharia compliant. But we think that with the growth of Sharia funds and the demand for ESG companies that qualify under ESG guidelines, for example, the world's largest sovereign wealth fund managed by Norges, has very strong ESG credentials, and they make a big play in terms of looking only at stocks which qualify as ESG compliant stocks. So, really, those stocks that are Sharia compliant, halal qualified, and also you know, part of meeting ESG standards. I think in time these stocks will, you know, develop a Sharia premium because of the demand for these stocks. It's because the entire spectrum of the market is able to invest in Sharia stocks, but of course only the you know, the non-Islamic funds will be able to invest in stocks which are non-halal in nature.
So Alex, what are your top picks which meet both the halal and ESG criteria in the ASEAN stock universe that you cover?
Okay, in our regional thematic that was published earlier this month, in the Malaysia context, we listed a few stocks from Malaysia that we thought were stocks that have good, you know, strong halal credentials, and we think with a buy recommendation by RHB. These are Aeon, Brahmas Auto, BIMB Holdings, Hatalega, Padini Holdings, and regionally in Indonesia. Our top picks are BTPN Sharia, Indo Food Success, Jaffa Confit, Jasa Marga, Telkom Indonesia, and United Tractors. And for Thai stocks, Bumrungrad Hospital, Central Patana, Platinum Group, Robinson, and Silver Lake Axis in the Singapore market.
Thank you so much, Alex. And that was Alexander Chia, Head of Regional Equity Research at RHB Group. And this is quite an interesting sector that is probably going to be experiencing quite a lot of growth, because particularly due to the growth of the Muslim population, because over the next two decades, this demographic is estimated to grow at an average annual growth rate of 1.5% versus 0.7% for non-Muslims, according to Pew Research data. And there's also the fact that while it is the fastest growing population, but it's also the youngest. So the Islamic world median age is 24 years. By comparison, the global median age is 32.
Yeah, and we look at the figures in the economy as well. I mean, the industry have increased about 2.1 trillion in 2017 with a compound annual growth of about 5.6 from the 1.9 trillion in 2015. Now, if you put that side by side with the world economic growth, that's about 3.8%. But it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, 2.2 billion population, but earlier you mentioned that, I mean, the size of the economy just represents about 1% of the Islamic financial assets, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure, Islamic investing or even Islamic finance is very much at its infancy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we just drill down in terms of investing, it's only now, actually Malaysia is quite a market leader versus the rest of the world. And this is despite the fact, when you think about it, the top 10 global sovereign funds, half are from the Arab world. So yeah, if you ask me, Sharia investing can only grow. And even for EPF last year, right, you can opt to do Sharia investing rather than conventional investing.
Yeah.
So if anything, there will be continuous inflow into Sharia-related stocks. And Malaysia, of course, is a beneficiary because we have a well-developed capital market. We have established our FBM Sharia index, so it's easy for local and also foreign fund managers to find what is Sharia compliant. The SE produces a booklet every 6 months. We can follow that booklet to invest. So some of the names he mentioned were interesting. They tend to be, I noticed, retail, some glove makers, construction names.
Automakers as well.
Automakers. Of course, banks are of course excluded because of the interest element there.
Yeah. So, I mean, so now my understanding is that there is a big population and growing population of Muslim, but I think because of it's, you're saying that it's at its infant stage, you know, is it because it's an awareness? Is it an understanding of the two system? Because now we see two system being applied here in Malaysia. We always hear two announcements being made, one Sharia and one non-Sharia, isn't it? And these are, whether or not, despite the number, whether or not people understand and whether they choose to go with Sharia sort of related investment.
I think it's just starting out because it was introduced, if I'm not wrong, last year or the year before last. So as the public gets more aware that this is an option available, even at EPF, you will probably see Sharia investing increase. What's important to highlight is that Alex notes that the performance eventually does even out, right? And it's, this message has been also repeated by the head of EPF. But he does remind investors that if you choose Sharia investing, there may be years where you underperform, but this is because you choose it.
Yeah, I think you also mentioned an interesting point, which is that some of RHB's stock picks include retail names, and that is also quite an interesting growing sector for Islamic cosmetics, for example, and Islamic clothing. Indonesia is the largest consumer of Islamic cosmetics in the world, and we are, Indonesia is one of our closest neighbours, we're quite well positioned to capitalize on that and basically reinforce our status as a halal hub also. Although there has been some talk about Singapore also coming up with their own halal hub in the next 2 years, and they're sinking something like $100 million into that. So that could pose some headwinds, I think, in the near future.
Everyone's looking at Indonesia, right? A population close to 300 million, close, very untapped, growing middle class. Everybody wants to be in that space.
Largest Muslim country by population in the world, yeah. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.